for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December the 26th, 1998. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jim and Mildred Coffey are the ministers of the afternoon. Should this tape for any reason be defective, please explain and return for replacement.
The ladies are good. Dose this afternoon. We had, praise the Lord. I was telling them, and I'm going to teach on healing this afternoon. I was telling them I was mad at the devil for what he's trying to do. There's so many in the body of Christ that are sick. And God doesn't want us sick. He doesn't want his children sick. So I'm going to start with just the word and what the word says about healing, and then wherever the Lord leads, we'll go. So, praise the Lord. I was looking. I don't believe all the ladies are here that were upstairs. They must have had enough. Praise the Lord. Well, Father, we thank you for this day again, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Jesus.
Yes,
now, Father, as we just share the word that you gave unto me, I ask, Father, that you just open our ears, our physical ears, to hear your word, not me, but your word, and to open our eyes to see more clearly. And, Father, open our hearts to receive your word, that the word may do the work that you sent it to do, in the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for Jesus. And now, Father, I just say praise and honor and glory belong to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You know, I have a Bible that a friend of mine was telling me about, and it, Jim bought it for me a while back, and it has some footnotes under it. I don't normally read footnotes. If you will open your Bible, 3 John. I know you all know these scriptures, but I would like for you to look at them as I share. But I was reading a footnote on 3 John, and it said this scripture that I'm going to use is the second verse in the third epistle of John. And it said, John said, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." And this commentator on this Bible that I was looking at, he said that was just a greeting, you know, that like we'd walk up and say, "How are you today?" or something. So John, this was just a greeting to the church. And I thought, yeah, that's what we in our natural mind always said about the words. You know, we look at it from the natural and not look at what it's saying. But I looked up the word, prosperous. Let me see where I can find it. But God wants us to prosper. He wants us to prosper physically as our soul prospers. He wants us every bit whole, spirit, soul, and body. And we know this. Every one of us know this. And this is our problem. We know the word. We sit and hear the word continuously. And we do know it because we've heard it with the hearing of the ear. But we're not receiving it in our spirit for to do the work. I think at one time in my church, I may have said this, I did a teaching in our church on the unbelieving believer. We say we're believers, but do we believe? Or are we just mental sinning the word? I'm not accusing now. Don't get your feathers up. I haven't started preaching yet. I want you to just think about it. You know, I'm tired of seeing God's people sick. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of seeing the world laugh at us because we talk healing and we walk in sickness. And I know that our God is not pleased. And I asked the ladies up there, I kind of got on healing a little bit, or you can't help it when you're so full of it right now. I said, the Lord gave me 3 sermons. And my husband was saying, which one are you going to preach this afternoon? And I said, the first one. He gave me 3 sermons on healing and some of the reasons why we get sick. But the thing is, when we don't receive everything that Jesus did for us. And someone here at the last camp meeting was talking about, Donnie, I believe, he was saying, did Jesus not do enough for us? Why don't we receive what he did for us? Oh, me. I don't see anybody saying amen. So, but what I'm saying is everything that he did upon the cross, he did it for you and I.
Yes,
and he did everything that he took care of everything that we needed. Everything. Spirit, soul, and body.
Yes,
he took care of it. And but we, it's ours, but we have to receive it. And I was sharing with the girls up there, and I said, you know, when you go up to get someone to pray for you for healing, well, when they lay hands on you, you need to receive the word that they're praying for, the whatever the need is at that time. But I think what we do, we're expecting them to have some supernatural power, which they have. It's God's power, but you and I have it too. And what we need to do is when they pray for us or when we pray for one another is to release our faith to receive what the word says. And we're expecting them to just supernaturally do it, and we don't have to do anything. Just, you know, yeah, show up. That's good. And this is really where I got into deliverance. Let me tell you, I have had friends. We started the charismatic route. We was talking charismatic, brother was this morning. And we started that route. And every meeting I went to, I saw all my friends in the same prayer line, getting the same prayer for looking to see if somebody up there was going to zap them and they was going to get totally whatever they needed without them doing anything. And they go up there and they just pop in and stand. And this one lady, and I loved her dearly, first car ever, Cadillac ever had. I got it from her. And I loved her dearly. And she'd go up there and she'd walk up there real fiercely, you know. And he'd pray for her and she'd, oh, you know, and then she'd turn and walk off, and I watched her, and I said, she's saying, he didn't have it. I didn't get it. But she was expecting it from him and not from the Lord. And I kept saying, God, what's wrong? Why aren't these people getting healed? And that's when the Lord began to show me that deliverance is very important. That people needed deliverance from these spirits. Of course, they were so. Now, I'm telling you, sometimes we're so spiritual, so full of pride, we don't want anybody to know we might have one. And you're very fortunate if you don't have but one. I haven't seen anybody that just has one.
Right.
They may have one legion. But I'm telling you that God wants us free.
Yes.
But he wants us to be what we say we are. And so John here is saying that God wants us to prosper. Well, look, even, and be in health even as your soul prospers. And part of our reason is we may not have all of our soul. I'm not going to get on that this afternoon. There's some text back there on it. But
yeah.
We need to ask the Lord to restore our soul. Go to First Thessalonians and let's the last chapter. And let me give you a verse of scripture there. One of the ones that the Lord gave me in the area of preserving and restoring the soul. In 1 Thessalonians, I want to start with verse 15. He says, chapter 5. He says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. You know, when I was started to my study on this, I was going to use just one verse, and the Lord told me to back up and look at this, because we need to look at, are we rendering evil for evil to people? What are we doing that might open a door for the enemy to attack us? It says, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. You rejoice evermore and pray without ceasing? That's what the scripture says. He says, in everything give thanks. He didn't say for everything give thanks. He said, in everything give thanks.
Yes.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit. You know that I think sometimes we have a physical problem come on us because we quench the spirit of God. And we don't obey the Holy Ghost. We cut it off. We got to get on with our program. If God is moving, you know, well, we got to have preaching. We got to have this. But, you know, God can come in and do it all if we'd be saved. So we cleanse the spirit and we open the door for the enemy to attack us. And he said, despise not prophesying and prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil. And I find that Christians don't really believe that verse, abstain from all appearance of evil. We justify if we don't like what the word says, we justify it, or we, as the brother said this morning, we excuse it, work around it, compromise it. But it's God's word. I'll tell you a little thing, and then we'll get to it. I'll tell you this one. I'm going to tell you anyway. We had a lady, an elderly man and a lady in our church, and after a long time in the church, the lady died. She just sat in the chair one afternoon, went home to the Lord. And so we had another lady, a married lady that lived in town, and her daughter, that it seemed like the minute this lady died, that they just pounced on him. And it was real strange, wasn't it? And he called me up one day, and he said, you know, he said, Jim and I had talked to each other about it. We didn't think it looked right, because they were going over to his house at night and staying until maybe 12 o'clock. And this woman had a husband, and he wasn't saved, and we didn't know what he was thinking about our church, that we were keeping those people at church till 12 o'clock. And so when this man came to us about it, we told him, we said, it really doesn't look right. That they never had anything to do with you while your wife was living. And we were seeing that the single girl was sitting in the back and the mother was sitting in the front with the man. When they came to church, they began to come to church together. Now, why I'm telling you all this, that is the appearance of evil.
Yeah.
This lady was married. She has a husband. This man's wife is newly dead, and they were going to his house and having fellowship, and probably was nothing wrong with it in the natural, but the world was looking at that and saying, wait a minute. And that's what we were saying to him. If you are already feeling guilty about it, God is trying to tell you something's wrong with it. And so he says, abstain from the appearance of evil. And he means for us to do that, to not do those things that appear to... See, you may be the only epistle that somebody's reading, and they look at you, and if you're doing the things that God tells you not to, and these people that are looking at you that may not know Jesus, and they see you doing it, they'll say, well, look, I don't do that. I'm not a Christian, but I don't do what they're doing. So that's why it's so important that we take this word and believe it. So what that's got to do with healing. Who knows how many doors are we open with it? And he goes on, verse 23, he said, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was saying there to the church, he said that he wanted the spirit, soul, and body to be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the sickness that we have is in the body, manifests itself in the body, and God wants us healed from it.
Yes.
And so he said, I looked up the words in this scripture in the Hebrew, in the Greek, and he said, soul, we know what the soul is. He wants your heart, your mind, your will, your emotions to be restored. He wants us to be restored totally. Every part of our mind, our will, our emotion, our ability, our appetite, everything that is us.
Amen.
And God will restore it if you ask Him to. He said in Psalm 23, He restores my soul.
Yes.
And so He's telling us, He said He wants us preserved. Now let's go over to Proverbs chapter 4. I heard someone quote this upstairs. They walked all over my sermon up there, but that's okay. We had a good time, didn't we? Proverbs 4. Verse 20, he says, my son, attend to my word. Incline thine ear unto my saying. He said, attend to my word. He said, hearken to it. Hear it. In the Hebrew it says, to hear, give heed, mark well, regard the word. What the word saying? Listen. You know, Jesus said in all through the scripture, you can find this, if he that has ears, let him hear what the Spirit's saying. And we don't want to be dull of hearing. We want to hear what God's Word is saying. He said, let them not depart from the words now. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. When you find the Word, it brings life and health to you. What do you mean find it? When it becomes yours. When it becomes yours. You see, we hear the word and we talk the word a lot of times, but we haven't found it. We have not received it into our hearts for it to work, to bring about. It's with deliverance. We have people come and want deliverance, but they don't really know anything about deliverance. And so they will sit in a deliverance service and if somebody's calling something out, they don't want somebody to know that they've got. They won't let it go, or they're afraid that somebody will think bad of them. And so they don't know enough about deliverance to receive deliverance. So we have to know what the Word's saying. We need to get the scriptures on healing. That's why I want to go through these scriptures. I know that you know them. I know that you've heard them. I'll put it that way. I know that you read them, and you can quote them to me. And I have a lot of people. I have a woman in my church that stands up. She quotes to me. She, let's bind this, and let's pray for that. And she'll believe absolutely nothing. She believes absolutely nothing. She wants to pray about everything, and that's what Scripture says. And when she comes to me, I say, when you start walking in what you're praying, want to pray for me, I'll let you pray for me. She calls me sometimes 3 or 4 times a day to pray for her. And so I know that she doesn't believe. I want her to, but I can't make her believe. I can't make you believe. I can't make you receive. I can give you the word. God says I can to share, to tell. And that's what I'm doing this afternoon.
Yes,
and when I preach on healing, people usually get mad at me. But I want you to know that you don't have to be sick. You do not have to be sick. You know, you go to the doctor, and I shared this, and I said, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. What I'm saying, you go to the doctor, and he says, now I'm going to write your prescription, and I'm going to give you, you're going to take this medicine for every 4 hours. Now you take it like clockwork, and you will do it. And I told you I used to do that. I'd set an alarm clock to get up during the middle of the night and take the medicine because the doctor said it. And one day I discovered the doctor wasn't God. We act like he's God, that he's got the power of life and death in his hands, and he's not God. And we need to, if you go to the, I'm not telling you not to go to the doctor. I wouldn't tell you that because you don't, if I hadn't gone to the doctor before I learned to walk in the Word, I'd have been dead. But I'm telling you God's Word works, but it doesn't work automatically. You gotta do it. I don't know how you do when you read the Word, but I do it like this. And I quote the Word. I quote the Scripture. And then I'll get the Word and I'll hold it up before my eyes. It says, let it not depart from before your eyes. And then I'll put it down on the floor and I'll say, devil, I'm standing on the Word. It may not impress the devil, but it sure helps me. And I'm telling you, it works. But it works. You know what? I had a ruptured disc in my back. And you know, I was walking like this in 4-inch heels. I kid you not. We had an old van. Jim had an old van. And you had to step up to get it. My car was in the shop, so we was having to use his van and go to church. And my shoes not only had 4-inch heels, they had a platform on them. And I put them on, and here I go. Couldn't straighten up. Pain, oh, it was awful. And I go out there, try to get in that car. It was horrible. And the devil would say, you stupid old woman, why don't you go put on some flat heel shoes? And I'd say, I'm not going to do it. The Word says, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. He says, and listen, the devil talked to me, and I talked back to him. He said, you don't look healed. I said, I didn't say I was healed. I said, the Word says I'm healed. The Word says it, and I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I'm going to wear these heels. I always wore them, and I'm going to wear them. I don't care whether you like it or not. And I 2.5 weeks, I walked and had a full-length mirror. I passed by that mirror. The devil said, you sure don't look healed. I think inside of me, I sure don't feel it either. But I say, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, devil. And I tell you, the devil just talked to me and told me that's crazy. I had friends come up and confirm the Word. They did. They said, you are not healed. You are lying, Mildred Coffey. And I said, I'm not lying. The Word doesn't lie. The Word says that by the stripes of Jesus, I was healed. I was healed. I am healed, and I'm being healed.
Hallelujah.
And I would not, listen, I fought a battle. This old gray-headed man, not my gray-headed man, but another one. He got so disgusted with me. So we were over in Penny's one time, and I was walking like this. I walked like I was 100, felt like I was 200. And I said, Jim, you got to do deliverance on me. This pain is terrible. That's why I learned the pain was the Spirit. And they set me down in Penny's, and Jim did deliverance on me. And I got up. I wasn't delivered totally. I just got delivered from some of the pain, and I straightened up a little bit, and I felt much better. But God healed me one night in church, totally. I was standing up on the platform, and I was hurting so bad, and I was leading singing. See, I leave singing in my church. You never believe it, but I do. And we have a great time. The Lord says, make a joyful noise, and I love to make a joyful noise. And he was standing there, and the only way I could get really relief from the pain was he put his hand on my back. And we were standing there praising the Lord. He had his hand on my back, and all of a sudden, just like that, it left. And I was totally healed from it. the Word became flesh in me. It became a part of me. I had quoted it. I stood on it until it got into my spirit. And when it got into my spirit, the healing came. The Word came forth. So I believe that this is what he means when you stand upon the Word. You keep the Word before your eyes. He said, "For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." And that's where we mess up. "Put away from thee a forward mouth and a perverse lip, put far from thee." You see, we are creatures of habit, and it's hard to break the habit. And we speak what we feel and what we see instead of what the Word says. In Matthew's Gospel, in chapter 12, and I will get to all of it, Lord, in the name of Jesus. In chapter 12, in verse 33, Jesus said here, he said, "Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. And the fruit of your lips, you become known by what you speak. Fruit of your lips." He said, "O generation of vipers, how can ye being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And see, what's in our heart in abundance is going to come out. And if you're full of doubt and unbelief, and you're full of what the doctor says, and what the pain says, and what your body says, instead of what the Word says, it comes out of your mouth. We're all guilty of it. "Well, I just laughed so hard it, I nearly laughed myself to death." No, I lost myself to life and godliness. "The joy of the Lord is my strength." But you see, we slip back into old habits. We know better, but we don't always do what we know. And so we curse ourselves. Did you know that you have the power to either die or live in you? Sure you do. And it's up to you to walk in that kind of a power, that power and authority. He said, "Well, I don't know about that." Sure you do. Did you know you should never, 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 ever say, "Well, you know, if the Lord says me to go home, I'll just go home." You shouldn't do it. You just open the door for the devil to take you out of this world. And you blame, you say God's doing it. And I've heard people say, "Well, the Lord just took them home." And they opened the door by saying, "You know, this is what the Lord wants, and I'm ready." And the devil says, "Okay, let's get this one out of the way." And he just wipes them out. And people do it, religion, you know, it's that old spirit of religion saying, you know, whatever God wants. Well, we want to serve God. God wants you to be a living testimony, not a dead one. A walking example of what His Word says. I walked there. I went to hospital one time and told the doctor that I was sick because the Lord sent me there to kill him by Jesus. A doctor looked at me like I was crazy, and I really felt kind of foolish as a result when I really learned about healing. I really did, and it was the last trip that I ever made into a hospital. You see, it sounded good to me, religious. You know, I'm going to witness. Well, how much greater to say God healed me and God delivered me, and I'm a believer. God is my source. Don't look at me. Look at Him. He'll do the same for you that He did for me. It's in His Word. He's no respecter of persons. And we just walk around and let the devil do it to us and think we're doing God a favor. And God wants us to be overcomers, to overcome the devil, overcome the sickness, overcome death and the grave. Jesus did. He destroyed the power of death. Didn't He say that in Hebrews? Well, He did it for us. And He said here, this is another one that we really need to listen to. I mean, we need, and I need to hear it too. You think I'm going to get the tape, but I go home and I play it and 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 play it. I don't like listening to me preach, but I like what the Word, what's saying, because it gets in my spirit more and more. I got it there, but no, I listen. I just keep putting it more and more in there because we need it. He said here in verse 35 first, He said, "A good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things." The words in your heart in abundance, out of your mouth will come good things. "And an evil man out of the evil treasure springs forth evil thing. But I say unto you that every idle word," that word idle is non-working word, one that doesn't work. The words that we speak, if they're idle, they're not, God says, "We'll give account of." He said, "Every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of, count thereof in the day of judgment." I am so sick of hearing people give account of sickness. I go, don't ask anybody in the beauty shop when I go and get my hair done how it feels. They'll tell me. I don't want to know. Because they stand up and see who can make their symptoms sound the worst. They do. They stand up and say, you know, tell everything. Every little pain I want to tell. Get deliverance. Told them getting deliverance from those worm spirits that come out of them pork they eat. And all those little pains that hit us. But I'm telling you, people, we need to watch what we say. praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 18. And all of you know this, but I want you to hear it. Listen closely. When I teach on healing, I always say in the church, I don't care if you know this, please hear the word. Get the word. Write scriptures down. Put them on cards. Stick them up on your refrigerator. Pour them to yourself. Walk around. Talk to yourself about them. Talk to the Lord about them. Talk to the devil about them. Run him off. It's only the word. Jesus said, it is written, that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of the Father of God. And so, if Jesus had to have the word, use the word against the enemy, how much more do you and I need to use it? Proverbs 18, verse 21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Speak life. Eat the fruit of life. I'm overcomer. With long life shall he satisfy me. He says, with long life will I satisfy me and show him my salvation. I still understand the word he said told me when Jim years ago had symptoms of a heart attack. He gave me Psalms 92. And the verse that says, they shall bring forth fruit in their old age. And I'm telling you, I'm 71, but I know yet. I may look at, no matter how I look, inside of me there's a young woman that loves the Lord and is going to preach and do deliverance until Jesus comes. Because he promises. He says, with long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation. And salvation is healing, deliverance. Everything that we need. And as the brother was talking about this morning, God supplies our needs. I said all along that if it was necessary, God would feed us by the ravens. And then one lady in our church would say, oh, that's a dirty bird. I said, he won't feed you. You're too picky. You're too full of pride. He wouldn't feed you. He fed children of Israel. He fed Elijah. And I keep praying for the spirit of Elijah, the boldness Elijah had. Man, I want that spirit of Elijah. I want that boldness to go forth and do that. Glory to God. Psalms 107. As I said, you know these, but you don't know them. We know about them, but we don't know them. I used this another night. I was teaching in our church on healing in the Lord's Supper, and I was going to use 107 verse 20, but let's start with verse 17. He says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Why are we afflicted? Because of our sins and iniquity. The soul abhors all manner of need, and they draw near unto the gates of death, and then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He sent his word. He sent Jesus and healed them of their diseases and delivered them from their destruction. And over in John 63, going back to the word, to speaking the word, John 6, 63. I can find John. There it is. John chapter 6 and verse 63, Jesus said, it is the spirit that quickeneth the flesh, promises nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and their life. You know, spirit is like the wind. You know, if you look it up in the concordance, it says it's breath, the wind. And so Jesus said his words were spirit and they were life. And what he was saying is that they go forth and they bring forth life. His words do. And that we just read that in Proverbs where it said that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So when we're speaking, we're either speaking life or we're speaking death. If Jesus' words were spirit and their life, so are ours. You say, well, I'm not Jesus. Doesn't he live in you? And when you speak words, you know those words just go and go and go. And go, You ever think about words? What happens to them when they're spoken? You know, when those words hurt, they cut and they hurt. They hurt people. They bruise people. There's curses loose by words. We curse people. We bless and we curse with the same tongue. James said it ought not be. Comes out of the same mouth. Blessing and cursing. So our words, people, are important. And we need to start confessing what the word says until it becomes a reality within us. Even if it hurts. Even if you're laughed at like I've been and mocked. And I know you have been too. And don't let anyone pull you off. I've had people try to pull me off of deliverance. Well, demons don't have to manifest. Well, I don't go with the manifest now. I just want them out and say manifest. It just tells me the power of God's there to make them manifest. And if someone didn't manifest, I'd think, well, Lord, what happened? You know, if God's there, he's going to reveal himself. And when you're doing deliverance, you're liable to see any kind of spirit. The spirits don't like the power of God. And so God's power is within us, and we don't believe it. I was reading scripture the other day over in Romans, and it's talking about the mind of the Spirit. And I know the Holy Spirit is a person. You hear people talk about it and call it all kinds of names, but he's a person. He has a mind. He has a will. He has emotion. He has spirit. He's a person. And so we need to recognize who lives within us and let him live. We need to let him take this word and bear it deep in our heart and reveal it to us. By the Spirit. People, I'm trying to tell you that this word will deliver every part of your body if you will receive it in us and believe it. We started out, there's a scripture in Revelation, I'm not going to turn to it, but it said Jesus was talking in the second chapter of Revelation, said you left your first love. When you first got filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus, you love Jesus today, but you don't love him like you did then. Because you got too much doubt and unbelief that's come in and tried to, and still has been stealing the things that you really believe. I take heed what I hear. I don't sit under people that will come against deliverance. You say, well, you're one-sided. You better believe it. I believe the word. And if somebody's coming against deliverance and tell me you don't need deliverance, that, you know, that you can just get deliverance by blowing spirits out or whatever, God can do it any way he wants to. But I don't want them to come against deliverance and think I'm going to sit and listen to it because I'm not going to do it. Because I'm not going to let him steal what I believe. See, it was still what I believe. And I've had to fight to keep my faith in deliverance. I firmly believe in deliverance. I believe in healing, too. I believe the Word of God is the Word of God, and he didn't change it to suit me. And he's not going to change it to suit me. It's his Word. He said he hastens his Word to perform, and he didn't say hasten mine, but if I speak the Word, he'll perform his Word as I speak it. And he says his word will not return void, but it will accomplish wherein he pleases. And he sent his word to heal. And it will accomplish healing if we'll receive it and believe it. Isaiah 53. You know, we need to look at what Jesus said upon the cross. Isaiah 53 says, verse 1, I was just going to read just one verse. And the Lord just instructed me to read more than one verse. He said, who has believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? Who has believed what the Word says? And he says, and what I see in that one verse is, if we'll believe, he'll reveal to us. If we will believe. He said, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness that when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected a man of sorrow and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, that we did esteem him, excuse me, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. You know, the word says God was the one that wrote it. He was smitten of God. Why? Because God loved us so much that he wanted us to walk in healing. He wanted us to walk in health. He wanted us to walk in salvation. He will end salvation on all these things. He wanted us, he gave us everything. There was nothing he left out. Nothing. But he was wounded for my transgressions. And I never sing that song, he was wounded for our transgressions. I always say he was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. And the chastisement of my peace was upon me. And with his stripes, I am healed. The word says it. The Word says it. And so it's mine. And I receive it. No one's going to take it away from me. And I'm going to listen to the devil and let him try to steal from me. He says over in Matthew in chapter 8, I'm kind of hurrying. I got a lot of spirits I'd like to call off if anybody wants deliverance tonight. Oh, I got a lot of time, so I'll take my time. Okay. Praise the Lord. Matthew 8, he said, in verse 16, he says, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. He cast out spirits with his word and healed. He sent his word and healed them, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Himself. First Peter says, we were healed. Here it says, we, over in Isaiah says, we are healed. We are, we were, and we will, are being healed.
Yeah.
It's God's word. And if we appropriate it, God does the work in us. Amen? Over in Deuteronomy, I want to give you some of the ways that we open the door for the enemy to attack us. So if you go to Deuteronomy chapter 7, 1 Peter 2:24 was that other one, says we were healed. Oh, I got another scripture I missed. I'll go back to it in a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse, let me see what verse I want. Verse 12. He says, wherefore it shall, let's back up to verse 9. Know therefore that he, that the Lord, he is thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to a thousand generations, and repayeth them that hate him to his face to destroy them. He will not be slack to him that hateth him. He will repay him to his face. Thou shalt therefore keep the commandments and the statutes and the judgments which I command thee this day to do them. Wherefore, it shall come to pass, if ye hearken to these judgments and keep and do them, that the Lord thy God shall keep unto thee the covenant and the mercy which he sware unto thy fathers. See, we have a covenant with God. And he says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And he said, he will love thee and bless thee and multiply thee. He will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, the corn and thy wine and thine oil and the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep and the land wherein which he sware to thy fathers to give. I think I went a little further than I meant to, but that's okay. But I want you to know something. Before I go into this other, over in, and you go to, be turning to Matthew 6, we're going to go over to forgiveness, which is essential to receiving the, healing. I said I didn't go come against people going to the doctors, which I don't. But what I want you to know that the doctors are men. They put their pants on one leg at a time. If there's any doctors here, forgive me. You're just a man. You're not God. And they have sworn an oath to Apollo. And their sign is a thing, whatever, is a two serpents around them. Apollo. Which we have looked at and said, you know, that's the bright serpent on the that God gave the Israelites, and they were bitten by the serpent. But it's not. They swear allegiance. You ever read the oath? And I'm not putting them down. I'm just trying to show you that we go to the world, but things that God wants us to go to God. You say, well, I went to God and he didn't heal me. Well, he did. He healed you 2,000 years ago. And if you go to a doctor, remember that he is a man, and don't. And I always say, I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. I don't go, but when it hadn't been in years, but I say, don't receive what they say. Break the curse of the word. You say, well, what'd you go for? Well, people go. But you see, we take those words that they say, now, you have got this and you have got that. And then they go and say, I got this. You did. You just got it. You claimed it. Where two agree is touching. I don't care if it's good or evil. Where you agree with it, you got it. And if you go to a doctor, say, the whole time he's sitting there talking to you, say, I ain't receiving it. I'm not receiving it. You don't have to say it loud. You can say it inside of yourself to protect yourself. Don't get in agreement and then don't walk out and tell everybody what he said. My daughter calls and she said, Mom, how are you? I said, fine. She said, I guess I better call my brother and see if you're okay. I said, I'm fine. How's Daddy? He's fine. She said, you wouldn't tell me. I said, we're fine. She said, I'm coming home to see. I said, okay. We're fine, though. But what I'm saying is, you don't have to agree with what the doctor says. You don't have to... What did we talk about? The word? I told Jim the other day, I got it. I felt awful. Every time I go to my church, I get cursed. It's true. Isn't it true? Well, thank you. This woman that has a revolving door sits back there and does everything she can to stop the worship and the praise. I'm not kidding. And everything else. And she sits there and she lets us have it. And so the next day I was just feeling terrible. And my body was saying, go to bed, you dummy, go to bed. And I said, I'm going down. And my body was saying, go to bed, go to bed. Man, did I want to go. You talk about a war. It was a war between my body and what I was going to do. And I finally got on some clothes and took off. I went shopping. I didn't buy anything, but I went shopping. I got my mind off of me and began to get my mind on things around about me. See, our problem is we look too much at ourselves. Got a pain. Got a pain. Oh, I'm going to have a heart attack. No, I don't believe in heart attacks. Got a lump. Got cancer. I don't believe in cancer. You say, you're stupid. No, I'm not. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. And what I'm saying is that if you get in agreement even with your body, can you see what I'm trying to say? We have agreed so much with this flesh and every pain that hits us and everything the devil wants to throw it at us that we forget that we don't have to stand in agreement with him and receive what he's saying. God wants us healed and delivered. And we need to put a zipper on this. I told the ladies upstairs, I was operated on 13 times. Doctor, I think I'll put a zipper in you. I said, no, God healed me, and he delivered me from all that stuff. We need to put a zipper on this. We need to repent. I told Jim, every time I think of his boss, I have to repent. I do. I love him in Jesus. And he's really lovable. I can go to hell for lying. Forgive me, Father. Really, really and truly. He's a man. But anyways, I have to repent. And what I'm trying to say is when we think of these things, instead of saying them, we need to repent. Cast down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Once we speak it, we got it. And the devil says, oh boy, I got a door. I can just zap them good. I've been sitting up here. I told Bill this morning, and when we were singing up there, I think that was singing, and this demon kept coming around. And I wanted to get the oil and go all over the church and run the thing out. I'd bound, but I don't know where it was coming from. He was just coming up there just doing his little work, and we were just ignoring him. He said, how do you know? Well, I knew he was there. And we need to keep our doors closed. What do you think he was doing there, just missing? He was waiting for an open door so he could walk in. Well, they're all around us. And you know, God protects us by not letting us see in the spirit. If you could see what's around you, men's heart failing, you know. Really and truly, they're everywhere, but thank God there's the angels of the Lord that are there too. And there are much more of them than there are of these. But over in, to begin with, to receive healing, you got to forgive. Unforgiveness, and this, I pray she don't get this tape, this woman in our church, she called me up one day and she says, I've been in your church for a long time, and I never got in deliverance. I said, you poor thing. What do you want? And I said it just about like that. I said, listen, I've heard you were drunk before. You're not going to unload that on me today. Now, what do you want? She says, well, I want you to seek the Lord for me. I said, seek him for yourself. I'm not your Holy Ghost. You said, are you talking to people like that? Yeah, when they won't hear me when I try everything else. And I said, and then she kept murmuring to me, and I said, listen, you know what your problem is? Go and forgive your husband and make things right with him. And until you do it, you're not going to get anything from God. She said, I don't want to. I said, well, then don't bother me. Well, I can help her. No, God will do something to help her against her will. She's not willing to forgive. And man, let me tell you that she's got so much bitterness in her, it's just unreal. And the unforgiveness will do that. And Jesus said in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 12, he said, verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. If we don't forgive those that have wounded us and hurt us, God won't forgive us. And those old unforgivenesses that we have held on to, those hurts and resentment, is bringing bitterness in our hearts, and it's going to stop us from receiving healing. And you, when you say, I can't forgive, what you're saying is I won't. And a lot of people say, I've forgiven everything. But you see, if God keeps bringing things to you, you need to stop and say, Lord, what are you trying to show me in this area? And forgive. You know, I find people don't really forgive the way God tells us to do it. And they just, I forgive everybody that's ever done anything wrong to me. That sounds good. But you know the ones that you're hanging on to, and you know the ones you won't turn loose. Just like that lady, she said, I'm not going to do it. And I said, well, don't bother me anymore. I can't help you. Because when we won't obey the word, we open the door for the enemy to just really let us have it. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, and let's look at that scripture in 12. That root of bitterness. You know, a lot of us need to repent against that we have rejected God. The Lord gave me the other day, I did a teaching in our church. The Lord is talking to me about if you're full of rejection and you haven't been able to get free from it, that you need to repent of having rejected God and God's goodness. It's a stronghold in people that before the scripture tells us, before we came to walk with the Lord, we walked with the devil and rejected God. We rejected the word, we rejected salvation, and we need to repent of that. But over in Hebrews in chapter 12 in verse, let me see where I am. Let's start with verse 11. It says, let's start with 12. Wherefore lift up the hands that hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Look diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness comes from unforgiveness. And unforgiveness and bitterness working together in that root. You see, we go after the branches sometimes, but we don't get the root out. And so it can stop us from being healed. I really believe that a lot of arthritis comes from bitterness. Cancer, yeah, I've forgotten that it does. Cancer comes from it also. And we hang on to it like, it's mine, I'm not going to turn it loose. Well, you're hurting yourself. Years ago, the Lord showed this to me, that we need to forgive just like Jesus forgave us. He forgave us everything we ever did. And that's what he expects of us, that we have to forgive anybody and everyone that's ever hurt us, whether they're living or dead, just and remember no more the things that they did, not remember them. And the Lord told me that if we were remembering it all the time, we hadn't really forgiven. We need to ask the Lord to forgive us for holding unforgiveness in our hearts and cleanse us from all of that. We really need to repent of it. And then get rid of the bitterness. Over in Exodus in chapter 15, and the Lord really talked to me a little bit about this the other day when I was looking at this, and I had never seen it before, and maybe some of you have, and I'm sure you have, but I had not seen it. But Exodus in chapter 15, some of our sicknesses come, and I'm going to give you some scriptures on it, because we have come against God's anointed. And God says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. And we don't pay any attention to that. We just say what we think and just go against God's people, God's men of and the anointing that's on them. And we don't realize that we're opening the door for the enemy to come in and just do whatever he wants to do. And we need to repent of that. But here in Exodus in chapter 15 and verse 20, he said, Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with the timbrels and with dance. And Miriam answered them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and there went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the water of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And as I was reading this, the Lord was showing me this. The water is the word. What he said over in Ephesians, and washed by the washing of the water of the word. And when we let out bitter words, we speak words that are bitter. We bring that bitterness. We implant that bitterness in our hearts, and then it brings all kinds of diseases. And you know, over in, what is it, in Numbers, where Miriam and Aaron came against Moses, and Miriam became leprous. They came against the anointed of God. So that in itself shows us that when we condemn or come against God's anointed, we're in danger. And we have not considered that it could be a reason for a lot of sicknesses. And I really believe that it's an area that we all need to repent of, because we are so prone to say what we think. And maybe we say without thinking. Maybe that's the thing. Instead of stopping and saying, you know, David wouldn't harm Saul after Saul wanted to kill him. You remember, he went into the cave and cut a piece off of his garment and took his spear. But he wouldn't harm him, because he said he's God's anointed. And we will just walk in and where angels fear to tread and say things we shouldn't say about men of God that God has anointed and he's using. And so I believe that this is what, when we see this, I know this is in the natural also, but in the spirit realm, words go forth that are bitter, hurt, and bring disease upon us. And he said here, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed, and Moses was, verse 24, and the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And many times the very people that we have come against ends up having to pray for us. And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the water, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And that tree, to me, represents taking all of those things to the cross, taking every bitter word that we said to the cross and asking God's forgiveness. Every person watching TV, we see these men on TV, and we come against them and say things we shouldn't say. We're all guilty of it, and we need to repent of it. And he said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ears to his commandments, and keep all these statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee. See, it tells us here that God says, I won't put these diseases upon you, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. He says, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And so he wants to heal us. He's already done it. He went to the cross for us. The people of Israel were looking to the cross. We look back to the cross at what Jesus did upon the cross, and he healed us by the shed blood of Jesus. Did you ever stop to think? Ever look at the picture? I was sitting in church one night last week, I think it was 4, I preached that on the Lord's Supper one morning, and the Lord began to show me a picture of Jesus with a crown of thorns on his head, and I could see those in the blood just running down his face, and I thought, those were not, I was sharing it with the church, and I said, they're not thorns like on my roses. And those on my roses just tear me up. I carry all kinds of scratches all through the summer from them. They hurt. But I said, they were long, big, you know, thorns. And they jammed that thing down on his face. And you know, your face bleeds real easy. There's nothing there but skin and bone. And all that blood. And I said, do you recognize the fact that blood went over the eyes, the ears, and the nose and the mouth? And I said, first of all, it was for the healing of our minds. Then the healing of our eyes and our ears as the blood went down. And I said, and then the pierced hands, our ministry. God called us, every one of us have a ministry to go and do. We sang the song, as you go, preach, sing, and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And there's a lot into this, but this is what the Lord was showing me that morning. I've done a full teaching on this, and I know what the Lord told me about. But I want you to see that this was all for you and I, and the thorns, the nails in his feet. We're to walk the walk that he wants us to walk, and he's already prepared it for us. And the blood in his side, when they put the spear in his side, as the blood came out, the blood and the water, it went into the ground and it broke the curse over the ground. And all of it was done for us. And we say, Lord, it wasn't enough. I'm sick. I got this disease. He said in Joel, I think it's the last verse in Joel, maybe Malachi, I always forget which one it is. He said, I'll cleanse the blood that hadn't been cleansed. And all we're going to say, Lord, cleanse my blood. Let the blood of Jesus flow and cleanse every part of my blood. He doesn't want us to have high blood pressure, low blood pressure. He wants to have heart problems. He wants us to walk, and he wants us to have a good heart and to walk and lay hands on the sick and say, hey, God, heal me, heal you. He's already done it. He's already done it. All you got to do is just receive it. And people believe it. They'll see it, and they believe it. And yet we say, I know he did it. Well, why aren't I healed? Well, it's because we haven't got the word in us. We haven't let it become flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we need that Word to come in and to do a work within us and to bring the healing that he did for us upon the cross. And not, if you've been in agreement with a doctor, ask God to forgive you and break the power. I'll tell you something. I got another sermon that says that the Lord gave me. King Asa sought the physician and he died. He had trouble in his feet. I know there's more to it than that, but I'll tell you what. And he said he saw and this is what men are doing today. They're seeking the doctor before they really stand on the word and believe God. Doctors can't heal us. And I told Jim, I said, you know, every time I put a medicine on, did you ever notice that every time they put a pill on of some kind on TV, they also tell you what the effects it can do, side effects of it. And yet we trust them. It's terrible. Taking medicine can kill you. It can. And we need to really pray and get free from all this. What's the answer? It's believing God. Taking the word. I've been there, done that. I know what I'm talking about. That I have walked many a mile in my house. Walked many a mile in my house with the word. Quoting the scripture. I'm not saying look at me. I'm saying look at this word, people. I know it works. I know it works. It worked for me. And if it works for me, the pain came back, sure. The devil tried. I said, I didn't say I didn't have problems. I was telling women, the devil tried to put a heart attack on me all the time. I don't believe in heart attacks. My mother and sisters had heart problems. And Joe says, I said, no. The word says my people perished from lack of knowledge. They wouldn't believe the word. They mocked me. My mother did. My mother died years ago. But my sisters laughed at me, made fun of me. But that's okay. And you can get mad at me, and I'll pray for you, and I love you. But let me tell you something. God will heal you. He will do it. And we want somebody to come up and lay hands on us, and that's fine. But what God wants is for us to overcome with the word. Overcome everything the devil's come at us with. But man, your heart. No, I love you, and I'm sick and tired of seeing people be sick and tired. When the pain comes, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Do you have any idea what the words of what James is talking about when he says resist the devil? I think his name might be Peter, one of the two. It says resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Well, you got to resist him how? With the word. It is written. Get out of here. I don't want what you got. Take it somewhere else. There's probably somebody waiting on it. Give it to them if they want it. But you're not coming in my house. When he knocks on the door, don't let him in. You know, we get under a lot of curses from witchcraft, too. And I don't hear many people talk about witchcraft. I was telling the ladies upstairs, I said, I know, y'all might not throw my shoes off. I've been staying quite a while upstairs and down here, too. I hear people say, you shouldn't send curses back. I do. I send them back. And I intend to continue to send them back because that's what the word says. Because I'm tired of fighting the witchcraft and the Satanism. Over in Ezekiel in chapter 13, I've got a sister that's in a nursing home. You can also see why I'm angry. She's one of the ones that laughed at me. She loved me, but she thought I was out in left field, I guess. But she should have been out there with me. And she's this scripture right here, Ezekiel 13. And there's not a thing I can do about it. I pray for her, but I have no authority over her. She has children that do, and they think their aunt's strange, and they just think I didn't. Well, anyways, here we go. Ezekiel 13 and verse 17 says, "Likewise, thou son of man, set thy face against the daughters of thy people, which prophesy of their own heart, and prophesy thou against them, and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Woe to the women that sew pillows to all armholes, and make kerchiefs upon the head of every statue to hunt souls. Will you hunt the souls of my people, and will you save the souls alive that come unto you? And will you pollute me among my people for handfuls of barley and for pieces of bread to slay the souls that should not die, and to save the souls alive that should not live, by your lying to my people that hear your lies?" That's my sister. She should have died 3 years ago. She has been, she doesn't know anyone. She's just there. They feed her by tract, that thing, and, you know, she knows no one. The scripture says that through witchcraft and the soul is removed. That's what I just read to you. Hunter souls work the witchcraft. And it talks about the daughters that do these things, that sew pillows to the armholes and make curses on the head. This is witchcraft and spells that they use to hunt souls, to remove the souls of people. And they can do it because we don't keep ourselves in the word and stay close to the Lord, that we open the door. You can open the door by losing your temper and getting mad. You say, "I don't have demons." Well, you get mad and you've got temper, and temper is a spirit. And the devil knows what button to push to make you lose it. So the lot of sickness is what I'm trying to say through the removal of the soul, through witchcraft and the occult. A lot of sicknesses are loosed upon you. Curses of death and destruction can be loosed upon you. The scripture right here tells you that people that shouldn't die are dying. And people that should die are still alive. Why? Because they use them. They use them to have the family fighting with one another. They use them to take all the money from taking care of them and all of this. And then those that should be alive, because they don't believe in deliverance, they don't believe that the devil can touch them. I have people say, I had a friend tell me one time that the devil can't touch me. You can't curse what God's blessed. I said, "Hun, tell me why your husband's divorcing you. Is that God?" "No." I said, I had just heard there were 40 days of fasting, and the witches were fasting for 40 days to destroy the marriages of God's people. Because when God's people divorce, they don't believe anything. Look, they're supposed to be Christians, and they're getting divorced just like the world does. But they say, "Well, the devil can't touch me because I'm blood-bought. I'm blood-bought too, and if we were perfect, the devil couldn't." But I don't know any perfect people. But what I'm telling you, this is another way the sickness comes in, and we need to be aware of it, and we need to go against the enemy. And nothing is so prideful to me as someone saying, "Well, the devil can't touch me because I know who I am in Jesus." Well, man, if I didn't know who I was in Jesus, I wouldn't do deliverance. Because he'd wipe me out in a minute. I've had him tell me, "Meantime, I'd like to break your blankety-blank neck, and I'd like to do this and do that to you, but I can't because your blankety-blank angels are protecting you." And I say, "Thank the Lord for my angels." I'm telling you, the Lord is good. He is good. He loves us. And he wants us healed. Does anybody want deliverance this afternoon? He says over in Acts 10, I'm going to do it just a minute. I'm going to quit now. In Acts 10, chapter 10, verse 38, he said that Jesus said there, if I can find it, said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. He healed us. He is healing us. And he's going to heal us this afternoon. We're going to do some deliverance on the spirits. Over in Psalms 103, I like this psalm because it says, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord of my soul and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I say, blood, praise the Lord. Heart, bless the Lord. Liver, pancreas, you name it, praise the Lord. bless the Lord. Everything within me, bless the Lord. As we praise the Lord, it builds our faith. And he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits. I've been talking to you this afternoon, about the benefits that God has given us, the healing he took upon himself when he went to the cross, that he did for you and I, how he wants you and I to be healed. Remember his benefits. So, well, I know them. So let's walk in them. Let's believe them. Let's receive them. He said, who forgiveth all thine iniquities? He forgave us. The devil said, well, you can't get healed. Look what you did, this or you did that. It's all under the blood. You confessed it as sin. God took care of it. And you're cleansed from it. Now get rid of the guilt. Don't let the devil beat you over the head and say, you can't get healed. Look what you did. The devil's a liar. He's a father of liars. And he's going to lie until he's cast into the lake of fire. And that's his place. Who redeemeth our life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. He heals all of our diseases, and then he crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that verse. The older I get, the more I like it. He renews my youth like the eagles. Said, well, you don't look young. That's okay. I feel young. That's okay. Don't care how I look. God knows. He loves me anyways. He renews us. He cleanses us. He heals all of our diseases. In 1 John 3:8 says, he came for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the devil's work, and I'm going to receive everything he came and did. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word.
Hallelujah.
I thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord, and all that you're doing and all that you're going to do. Lord, I thank you for deliverance. And Lord, you said, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. And so, Lord, we call upon you now for the deliverer. You're our deliverer. And we call upon you to deliver us. Because, Lord, we believe you will. You said, ask and you shall receive. And so, Father, we are asking, we're receiving. We thank you for it. And, Father, we come now and we repent of any sins that we've committed. Every sin that we committed. Lord, bring to our remembrance anything that we need to confess and repent of, anything, Father, that would block us from receiving deliverance and healing this afternoon. Lord, we thank you for the word. Lord, deliver us from all unforgiveness. We forgive all that have hurt us or harmed us in any way, Lord. We ask you to forgive us as we forgive them. Forgive us for holding unforgiveness, Lord. We forgive those living or dead that have hurt us in any way, in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, Father, I just thank you now for deliverance. I thank you for your word. Now, Father, I bind every spirit in this place. I come in the authority you've given me, and where I'm seated in Christ Jesus, the third heaven, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, I come in that authority, and I bind the enemy over this place. I bind the strong man in each one. I bind the strong man over this camp. I bind Satan's power. I cut off power from satanic forces from the north, the south, the east, and the west. I bind the spirits from the netherworld. And Father, I ask for a host of angels, or as many as we need, to encamp around about us, Lord, to protect, to guard, and to drive out, to take out the spirits when they come out, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that your word is true. And we just believe it, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And amen. I come against the spirits of infirmity. Spirits of infirmity. Every infirmity that's in the body, I call it off right now in Jesus' name. Spirit of death. The curse of death that's been loose. Cancer. I call cancer curses out. Cancer spirits in the name of Jesus. I call out skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors. Come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. I call out all infections. Infections in the body, infection in the blood. Come out now in Jesus' name. Breast cancer, cancer of the blood. I call out that controller of infections. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. Father, your word declares it. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. I call out that spirit that causes high blood pressure. In the name of Jesus Christ, I call out back pain, all the pain that's in the body. Pain is a name, and you will bow to the name of Jesus. Loosen them and let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn loose and come out of there. In Jesus' name. Stomach cancers. Cancer of the pancreas. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come out, all cancer spirits, let them go. Let them go. Turn them loose and come out. Now, in Jesus' name, the Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out there now, in Jesus' name. I call all the infections out, ear infection, bone disease. All, I call out that bone breaker, the one that crushes the bones. I call it out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen and let them go. Turn loose and come out. I call out bone cancer in the name of Jesus. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let go. Come out in Jesus' name. I call out the allergies. I call out all allergies in the name of Jesus. I call the spirits of asthma out. All allergy infections, come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I call out bitterness, all the spirits of bitterness in the name of Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out arthritis, cataracts, spirits of cataracts. I call them out, the cataracts over the eyes. Come out of them. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. I break the curse of cataracts and I call them out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out spirits of epilepsy, fatigue, excessive tiredness. Come out of them now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come out now in Jesus' name. I call out emphysema, cancer of the bone marrow. Come out of there. Strokes and heart attacks. Come out now in Jesus' name. Heart enlargement. Heart murmur. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Heart failure. Holes in the heart. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I call out tiredness, exhaustion, mind diseases, madness, insanity. I call out every spirit of insanity in the name of Jesus. I call spirits of madness out. In the name of Jesus, and I loose a sound mind in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All the fear, I call fear out, paranoia, confusion of the mind. Come out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, turn them loose and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I call out power over the inner ear. I call out that spirit that causes the hearing of voices. Come out in there. I call Apollyon, Abaddon. Destruction. Come out now in Jesus' name. The spirit of the destroyer. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. I call out mind control. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, mind control. Let them go. I call out the keeper of the soul, the doorkeeper of the soul that lets the enemy steal the soul. Come out of them now in the name of Jesus. The spirit of Methuselah. Come out of there. Let them go. Turn them loose now in Jesus' name. I call out migraine headaches, nervous breakdown, suicide, death. Come on out and let them go. Let them go. Come on, work with me now if you want to get free from this. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, nervous breakdown, migraine headaches, kidney infection, lung trouble, heart disease, heart palpitation, heart failure. I call out sinus blockage, sinus swelling, smothering, weakness, heart blockage, heart constriction, inferiority, depression, muscular dystrophy, schizophrenia. In the name of Jesus, listen to them and let them go in Jesus' name. Spirits of infirmity, diseases, let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all unforgiveness and resentment of authority. I call out every force, every curse in the name of Jesus Christ. I call out spirits of hate, fear, unlove, resentment, bitterness, that root of bitterness, come out of there now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Resentment of authority, in the name of Jesus. Lying spirits, I call all the lying spirits out in Jesus' name. We call it little white lies. I call out spiritual lying, come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, blasphemy, strife, backbiting, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call witchcraft out. I call every witchcraft curse. I call out hexes, vexes, jinxes, incantations, spells, blood sacrifices. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen and let them go. I call out infirmities, death. I'm going back over the cancer spirits in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Turn them loose. Cancer, skin cancer, colon cancer, tumors, spirits of colitis, infection. Let them go. Breast cancer, cancer of the blood. Controller of infections, let them go. Come on out there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Come on out. Pain, all the pain, infection, pain in the back pain, ear infection, bone infection. Come out now in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Let them go. Turn loose and come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I bind the spirit to stop the deliverance in the name of Jesus. I bind the doubt and unbelief, and I bind the powers from the heavenlies in the name of Jesus. Father, I call for the angels of the Lord to come in and cleanse the church and drive those spirits out. I call out anything that came in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I bind that power. I bind the protectors. I call out all the protectors that protect the demons in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. I call out any ruler that came in from the heavens in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Anybody got anything you want me to call out? Praise you. Tell him. Go over there and let him tell you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I come against paranoia, lust, perversion. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose and let them go. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. Addiction. I break the curse of that addiction. I call addiction to cigarettes. Come out of there now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Desire, the taste, the craving. Come out of them. In the name of Jesus. Let it go. Let it go. In the name of Jesus Christ. Every addiction. I call addiction to food, addiction to drugs, addiction to sweets. In the name of Jesus. I call every addiction out. In the name of Jesus Christ. I call the desires out, the craving, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. I come against the spirits of diabetes, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I break every curse of diabetes over people, and I call it out. Spirits of diabetes, sugar diabetes, come out, let them go. Let them go, in the name of Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let them go. Let them go. I call every addiction out. You know, addiction to food. I break the curse of being addicted to food, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus Christ, let them go. Come on out. All the addiction, alcohol addiction, curses of alcohol on everyone. Somebody in your family's been an alcoholic and drank. I don't care who they are. I break that curse and I call alcoholic addiction out. And if you got a husband or a son or anybody that drinks alcohol, the spirits transfer, and I call them out in Jesus' name. I break the evil soul tie between you and the one that's addicted to alcohol, and I call back your soul, and I call every one of those addictions out in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. We had a lady in our church that one time that her husband used to be was a Baptist preacher. He was still a Baptist preacher, but they had divorced. And they were in service, and every time they would go to the meetings, they would have, drinks. And she didn't drink. I don't know whether her husband did or not. But she was in our church one night. She said, "Would you get alcohol off me?" She said, "I have the craziest feeling. I want something to drink, and I never had a drink in my life." And so we started calling the drinks that they served at those parties that she went to. She went with her husband, who was a preacher. And so she got delivered from all kinds of alcohol and never had a drink in her life. So it could have come through being there or it could have come through down the family bloodline. But she got deliverance from it. So, you know, I watch people, they're afraid that stuff will come up that they don't want anybody to know about. But you know what? When you're doing mass deliverance, it could be something that was called 5 minutes ago that just now manifesting itself. And it doesn't matter what it is. If you want to get free from it, God will free you from it. I come against that. I come against deception and self-deception. I break that power of your hearing, too, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I call out deception, spirits of deception, self-deception, and spirits of deception. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Turn them loose. Turn them loose in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Huh? Self-sabotage. Come out there now in Jesus' name. Turn loose and let him go. Let him go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen him and let him go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Self-destruction. I call it out. I call out self-abuse. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every name that has a name bows to the name of Jesus. Unbelief and doubt. I call unbelief out and doubt in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I call all the fears out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I call out all the throat problems. I break the curse of spoken words and I call them out of your throat in the name of Jesus. I call every allergy out in the name of Jesus. Sinus drainage, I call it out in the name of Jesus. I call all the allergies out in Jesus' name. Swelling, asthma, can't even think right now. What? I call angiotis out in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to me. Come out now in Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. Turn them loose. I call the words out that we have been loosening that we shouldn't. I break the power of those words and I call them off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I call out backbiting. Call out jealousy. I come against resentment, jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness. I call apollyon and destruction out in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, well, glory. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I bind every spirit that's left. In the name of Jesus, I bind the ones that was cast out. Ask for the angels of the Lord to come in and cleanse the church. I ask you, Father, to fill each one now with your presence. Let the Holy Spirit just fill every place where spirits have come out in Jesus' name. Lord, we loose healing. We pray for healing to everyone here. We loose healing, Father, in the name of Jesus. You said to heal the sick and lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. So we just loose them into your hands. We just call for healing, Father, that you'll touch each one right now that has any infirmity in their body in the name of Jesus Christ and heal in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. We praise you and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.